Well, more of us are riding our bicycles these days to cope with the high cost of gas. Are you? We want to know what you are doing to cope with the high price of gas at the pump. Has it changed your lifestyle in any way? 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, July the 2nd. According to a new Associated Press Yahoo News poll, 9 out of 10 of us expect to feel the pain of high gas prices over the next 6 months. And 50% of us think that the hardship will be serious. The poll found that most of us are driving less and taking other steps to cope with high gas prices. We want to know what you're doing. Are you riding the bus more? Are you carpooling? Are you cutting back on trips? Are you cutting back on other expenses so you can pay for gas? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest this hour is Pam Moen. She is Public Affairs Director for AAA Wisconsin. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
And I see here that AAA is predicting fewer people will be traveling over the 4th of July weekend.
Yeah, we are. AAA, of course, has tracked people's holiday travel plans for many years, and starting with Memorial Day this year and continuing into the July 4th weekend that we're about to embark on, we are showing a significant shift in the trend in that fewer people are actually expected to travel for the July 4th as they did on Memorial Day compared to last year. And while the decreases aren't big, it was about 1% for Memorial Day, and we're looking at probably a minimum of a 1.5% decline nationwide for Labor Day. It is significant because prior to Memorial Day, we had always seen a modest to moderate increase in the number of folks who travel for the same holiday from one year to the next. So definitely the gas prices are taking their toll, and people are starting to make some serious changes and perhaps permanent changes to how they drive and their lifestyle.
Yeah, and is this primarily driving or flying as well?
For the holiday travel, it includes both. Actually, the flying number is down even more than the driving number. As I mentioned, we're expecting about a 1.5% decrease minimum overall. And the vast majority of July 4th travelers go by automobile, some 85%, and that's down about 1.2%, and then about 11% of folks actually plan to fly for the holiday, and that's about more than a 2% decrease compared to the number of folks who flew last year. So certainly the high fuel prices have taken their toll on the airlines. We've seen a lot of news about them in recent weeks, and fares are up, and fewer people are choosing to fly for the holiday as well.
Yeah, it says, too, the first time in a decade that this has happened year to year for the 4th of July holiday. It's, what, $4 or so a gallon average price in Wisconsin right now, but that's like a dollar more than it was last year.
Absolutely. Our statewide average today, according to the AAA fuel gauge report, is $4.05, and the only bright spot I can offer there is that's 4 cents below the national average, so that's of little comfort when we're paying $4.05, but certainly there are other places in the country where it's much worse than here in Wisconsin. And we're seeing averages around the state range from the high in southeastern Wisconsin, of course, because the different reformulated gasoline that's utilized there for EPA emission standards, the average in the Milwaukee area is about $4.15, and Green Bay is still hanging in there below $4 a gallon at $3.97. So if you want to plan your trips accordingly, looks like any bargains to be had are up in the Fox Valley.
Well, it just so happens that I am going to the Fox Valley.
Well, good for you.
Yeah. But what do you know if people are if they are traveling, they're staying closer to home?
Yeah, that's what the surveys are certainly indicating. back at Memorial Day, when our survey came out, the Travel Industry Association came out with another survey that was still showing there were about 60% of folks surveyed who were not planning to make any major changes yet to their summer travel plans because of gas prices, while 40% were making changes. 60% of folks were still planning to travel, but the folks who are traveling were saying they were going to travel differently. They were definitely planning to stay closer to home so that they could drive fewer miles and save a little bit on gas. They were also planning to perhaps shorten their trip by a day or two to save a little money there. People were looking perhaps to take fewer trips over the course of the summer. They were planning to spend less on souvenirs, shopping, meals and entertainment, as well as hotels. So, you know, we're hopeful, and we're going to have to wait and see how this all shakes out, but we're hopeful that Wisconsin's tourism industry won't be hurt by the overall fewer number of travelers, because people here in Wisconsin, hopefully, as well as folks in surrounding Midwest states, will choose travel destinations here. Mm-hmm. So, but we will have to wait and see.
Well, we're going to check our weather forecast, and then we want to know from you, dear listener, are you driving less these days because of the high cost of gas, and not just for the 4th of July holiday weekend? Are you riding the bus more? Are you carpooling more? How has the higher price of gas affected you, and what are you doing to cope? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let's help each other out a little bit. They say misery loves company, but maybe you can share an idea that will help us all save a little bit of money or cope with these high gas prices. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 19 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, July the 2nd. Coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. The Fiscal Wake-Up Tour has visited more than 30 U.S. cities, educating the public on long-term fiscal problems. After 4, Ben and his guests will discuss the impact of the national debt on national security. That's after 4 this afternoon here on the Ideas Network. This hour, we're talking about high gas prices and how we are coping with high gas prices. Lots of surveys out there and news out there that this is hurting our pocketbooks, and we are indeed making changes to cope with the cost of a gallon of gas, including we're apparently riding the bus a whole lot more than we used to. Had a story on Wisconsin Public Radio this week about bus ridership going up in communities around the state, including in Milwaukee, where the bus ridership had been going down for the past 8 years, but that's turning around.
By the end of the year, we're going to see some different results because, you know, let's face it, $4 a gallon is just shocking.
Yes, that was the director of Milwaukee County's transit system, Jacqueline Jans, predicting a big increase in bus ridership this year due to shocking prices for gas. I'm wondering, Pam Moen, is that how you describe it? Are shocking that the gas prices are so high?
It really is. I can remember not quite 3 years ago, back in the fall of 2005, following Hurricanes Katrina and Rita, when we first really saw this climate of extreme volatility with gas prices start. And that's when prices first started flirting with that $3 a gallon mark, and you know, people were shocked then about the prospect of paying $3 a gallon. And of course, it wasn't long after we passed that $3 a gallon mark when people started to talk about the $4 a gallon gas. And you know, now that we're there, we are really seeing some changes in people's driving habits. We were a little bit surprised. We didn't actually see more people make serious changes at the $3 a gallon level, but certainly since prices have gone north of $3.50, and certainly since they've crossed the $4 a gallon mark, we are seeing people really responding to the shock of what they're paying every time they fill up their vehicle, and most of us are left with no choice but to try to find ways to cut back and save some money someplace mm-hmm. else. So.
Well, we have some listeners who either have ideas or are telling us what they're doing. Debbie, finally. Debbie in La Crosse, hi, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to share my own personal experience. I have an hour, 45-minute commute one way to work.
Oh, boy.
I've been doing this for 10 years. I love my job. And given that I go to a rural area, I think I perform a service that's really needed. So I don't foresee that changing. But what I have changed is, as I told the person who answered the phone when I called, my cruise control is set at 60 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. And that's a drastic change in terms of, you know, travel time
sure.
for me.
Yeah.
But we also, as a family, drive everything that ranges from a vehicle that gets 40 miles to the gallon to a pickup truck. And so we now are consciously, you know, asking ourselves which vehicle is going to be the most economical and efficient to do the job. And then we rotate amongst ourselves. And then finally, my employer has appreciated my position and others like me in the company and have offered us 4 10-hour work days. So that helped.
Oh,
too.
I'm so glad you called, Debbie, because I just saw a story on, I think it was ABC last night, that this is a growing trend, that more and more employers, including entire states, are moving to a 4-day work week of 10 hours a day. Are you going to take your employer up on that?
Absolutely, and I already have. So, and that's working well. And I think, you know, it really helps boost employee morale because it shows that they're being proactive and that they care. And it's very good in terms of retention, especially when you're talking about rural areas that have a hard time drawing staff to begin with.
Yeah. A 4-day work week sounds pretty good to you, Pam?
Yeah, it sure does. And that's not the first time I've heard that. As you said, that's mm-hmm. becoming a more and more common occurrence as employers are responding to the record high gas prices and trying to find some alternatives to offer their employee. And as Debbie said, employers want to keep good employees. And if this is one way to help them do that, and it works for the company, many of them are doing that.
Yeah, and Debbie's doing a smart thing by putting the cruise on 60 miles an hour for the highway?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really interesting because I got a couple of calls maybe 2 weeks ago from a couple of reporters in the state that had talked to the DOT, and the Department of Transportation was showing that some of their highway cameras that are positioned in different locations around the state are actually showing that people are driving slower than we used to, and they suspected that was because of the higher gas prices. It's a proven fact that for every mile an hour over 60, faster than 60 that you drive, you're significantly decreasing your car's fuel efficiency. So. Some people have obviously, like Debbie, have heard that message and are doing what they can to slow down, maintain steady speeds, and try to get the most miles out of every gallon.
Debbie, thank you so much, and good luck on that commute. I hope we can keep you company on your hour 45-minute commute to work.
Wow.
Yeah. We're having an odd problem with our telephone lines. I don't know why, but let me do an email from Joe in Edgerton. Joe writes, I drive a Honda Civic, but always trying to get a few more miles per gallon. I started driving 60 miles an hour on the interstate during my commute. I get 5 to 10% better gas mileage. Oh. Yeah, there we go. And have gained a little sanity during my commute. All right. Says, however, I'm apparently the only one using this not-so-unique idea. I only see a few vehicles per week driving more slowly. I wonder what price it would take for that to change. Well, you think the DOT is saying the message is getting out anyway.
Yeah, Joe is not alone. It may seem like that to him, but certainly we are hearing from the DOT and anecdotally from people like Debbie that they're slowing down. And Joe's exactly right. I mean, that's, AAA has been saying for years, actually, before we got to prices at this level, that one of the things folks could do to maximize their fuel efficiency is slow down, set the cruise control, and maintain a steady speed. And I mean, we've heard from a couple of people this morning that indeed that works.
And now we'll try Victor in West Allis. Hi, Victor.
Well, hi. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I'm glad I got you on the air. Our phone system's giving us a little bit of a problem here. Go ahead.
My wife and I are avid bikers. We've been doing it ever since the 73 and 78 embargo.
I'm sorry, you're doing what, Victor?
Oh, we're avid bikers. We do 80% of our commuting in the West Allis area, the Milwaukee area, by bicycle.
Good for you. That's how much do you have to bike to work?
Well, before I retired, we used to go, I don't know if you're from Milwaukee, we live in West Allis, and so on 68th and Lincoln, and we used to go to 119th. That was about 10 miles or 9 miles a day round trip, okay? And we did it about 360 days a week, and even as far as 5 below 0.
Wow.
Now, what we use is, and we've been trying to promote this for years, but nobody listens because you're not a celebrity, okay? The Burley wagons, which we like, okay, we use those, like people, as we nickname it, the poor person station wagon. Now, we do have a car, okay? For example, we just upgraded it to 2005 and bought a brand new, and we only have 12,000 miles. Because we're wildlife photographers, we sometimes maybe want to get out of our local area. Now, what's interesting is this. I am surprised that the state has not returned to the 55 miles an hour speed limit. Mm. After the oil embargo, we used to drive, okay, and when we wanted to go elsewhere to do photography, we remember crossing Wyoming, Nebraska at 55. It looked like it took forever to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Why the state, I know why the state hasn't done it, is because at 55, they were actually losing money in tax revenue. The 55 was the perfect speed limit for getting the maximum amount of fuel efficiency on your car.
Yeah, Victor, I need to get Pam to comment since we're coming up on our news break. Well, way back when, wasn't it the oil crisis of the early 70s that caused that 55-mile-an-hour speed limit back then?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I've been saying for months now that I believe we're really starting to experience a similar situation now as we did following the oil crisis of the 70s, where we are starting to see people make some major and permanent changes to their lifestyle and how they drive. I mean, as Victor said, I mean, after the oil crisis of the 70s, we as a nation reduced our speed limit, and you know, while we haven't gone to that extreme yet, we are hearing anecdotally that people are taking it upon themselves to slow down.
I need to jump in to check the news, and then we'll be back to talk more about how we're coping with high gas prices.
Yeah, next time my family goes on vacation, we're going to have to hitchhike. I think I want to get me one of those cars that run on chicken fat. Ride a unicycle to work. Get a cosigner when I fill up. Forget the beer money, honey. I need gas money. It's a crude form of blackmail.
That's country singer Brent Burns once again with his Pain at the Pump song that's getting a lot of hits on YouTube these days, and some of his advice on how to cope with high gas prices. What's yours? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, toll free from anywhere. If you're in Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. It's now 6:37 on this Wednesday, July the 2nd, and we are talking about the high gas prices, AAA predicting fewer travelers over the 4th of July holiday weekend this year, the first time in a decade that the 4th of July travelers will decline. Wondering if you're foregoing a trip this weekend because of the high gas prices, or if they have changed your lifestyle in any way. We see stories that bus ridership is up. Even that the sale of bicycles up because of the high gas prices. Are you cutting back on your trips? Are you carpooling more? Are you considering buying a vehicle that has better gas mileage? Any tricks on getting better gas mileage out of your current vehicle? We welcome your thoughts, your questions, and your suggestions as we talk about gas prices. We are happy to have with us Pam Moen. She is the Public Affairs Director for AAA Wisconsin. And I know that the AAA, Pam, has other tips on improving gas mileage besides slow down, which is one that we heard in our last half hour. Any other things that we can just do with with the vehicle we have now to get a few more gallons maybe out of or a few more miles out of a gallon of gas?
Yeah, absolutely, Joy. And I want to caution folks, too. I mean, with prices this high, every now and then there are some urban legends that circulate with claims that they have the silver bullet to fix your gas price woes and help you get more miles out of every gallon. I really caution people to look at those carefully because obviously if there was a silver bullet, everyone would be doing it. So AAA offers some tried and true tips. Slowing down, we've talked about. Maintaining a steady speed is important. You want to avoid quick starts and sudden stops if you can. You want to take excess weight out of your vehicle. You don't want to drive around all summer with your golf clubs if you're, in fact, not using them every day. Things like that, because a heavier vehicle uses more fuel. You want to make sure that you're sticking to a routine maintenance schedule as recommended by the manufacturer. Things like keeping your tires properly inflated, the oil changed, and those other pieces of routine maintenance can really help extend the life of the vehicle and ensure your maximum fuel efficiency. Most people are already doing this, but you want to consolidate your trips and errands, obviously, to cut down on the miles driven when possible. Comparison shop by phone or online, if that's possible, before you jump in the car like perhaps we used to drive across town to pick something up. We heard Debbie talking about using the more fuel-efficient vehicle if your family has more than one vehicle, making sure that you're getting a map first before you go somewhere new for the first time, because getting lost not only wastes time and is frustrating, but it wastes gas as well. And then the last tip we offer is everyone wants to keep their eyes open for the lowest fuel prices, but obviously don't waste gas driving all the way across town to save a couple of cents a gallon, because you'll be wasting more than you're actually saving.
Let's take another caller. Let me see if Barb in Rice Lake is there. Hi, Barb.
Hi there.
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, since I live in a rural area, as many, many people do, there is nothing that will change for us and nothing that has changed. I commute. I go 80 miles round trip. I live 11 miles from the closest grocery store. I live 5 miles off the highway. So nothing changes. There's no buses. There's no carpooling. Everything has stayed the same. There's nothing we can basically do to change the way it is.
You have
pay
to
the gas prices, and that's it.
Yeah. Do you find yourself, though, and I know, Barb, you're not alone, Barb, with that. Are you maybe cutting back on other expenses?
Cutting out. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I guess so. Thank you very much, Barb, for the call. What about someone like Barb in rural Wisconsin? She doesn't have a lot of... She can certainly do these tips on getting better mileage, Pam, but not a whole lot else for her to do, huh?
Right, and unfortunately, as you said, I mean, there are a lot of folks in that position. I wish we could have kept her on, though, because I would be interested to hear her answer to the question. I mean, where else is she cutting back?
And that's what a lot of people are doing. I know. I just saw that Starbucks announced yesterday that it's going to shut down 600 stores nationwide.
Sure.
Because people are deciding not to get that latte.
Right, that you can make your coffee at home and save a little money. I know, obviously, people are going out to eat less. For families like Barb's, and I don't know if this is true for her, but, if you're spending a lot more every week of your income and available income on fuel, then that's money you don't have to spend on other things, whether it's going out to eat or perhaps taking the weekend away. Seen a lot of boats for sale with people that
with
gas prices this high, they've parked the boats and they're not using it. AAA actually does a survey of our, we have over 600,000 members in Wisconsin, and we survey them about some of the hot issues of the day every fall. So this is a little bit dated, and obviously the conditions have gotten much worse with gas prices since we surveyed people late last year. But we had about 80% of folks who were making changes to their daily lifestyle and consolidating their shopping trips. We had about 30 people, that, even back in November, telling us they were driving a more fuel-efficient vehicle. We had about 30% of folks who were either changing or canceling their summer vacation plans. Almost 20% of folks said they were sharing rides or carpooling. And about 5% then were using public transportation more often. So I would venture to guess that those numbers would be even higher if we talked to folks today, because we were a long way from $4 a gallon when we did the survey late last year.
Yeah, here's this new Associated Press Yahoo News poll that I cited earlier in the program. It says, to cope with the high gas prices, most are driving less, easing off on the air conditioning at home, and cutting corners elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Half are scaling back vacation plans, and nearly as many are considering buying cars that burn less gas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some auto sales numbers did come out yesterday, and they are down, and troublingly so. I suppose that's general economy too, but the SUV sales were down especially.
Yeah, and I noticed one of the interesting things from that survey that jumped out at me was that there is a much bigger market for the hybrids and more fuel-efficient vehicles, but both domestic and foreign automakers have been caught a little bit by surprise by this sudden rise in gas prices. I mean, we jumped to this $4 a gallon mark so quickly that, I mean, they're just not in a position to respond to make those more fuel-efficient vehicles fast enough to keep up with demand. So we probably could have seen more of those cars sold if the manufacturers were able to get them on the lots faster.
Well, here's Ronald, who sent us an email. He drives 100 miles per day. I love high gas prices and can't wait for $6 per gallon. All right, Ronald. The economy is changing and we will continue to adapt. Last year, I parked my Dodge up in my barn, and I bought a Prius.
Uh-huh.
We drove my Prius instead of the minivan up to Washington Island this year. We brought our bikes and had everything we needed. Be happy about the high gas prices. They are actually good for us.
Hmm. Well, I don't know that I would go as far as Ronald, but, I mean, it's hard for me to try to couch this gas crisis in any kind of positive light, because people are feeling so much pain. But I've been saying for some time now that, 5-10 years from now, we will look back, and the silver lining in this crisis will be that it finally forced us as individual consumers and as a nation to get serious about making changes to our energy consumption.
Yeah.
We talked before, similar to what we saw after the oil crisis of the 70s, we are now starting to see people make some serious and permanent changes. And in the long run, that'll be good. As Ronald said, I mean, people will be more conservation conscious. We are already demanding vehicles that get better fuel efficiency, and we're demanding alternative fuels. And, that drum is only going to beat louder as prices continue to rise. And the sad reality is that, I mean, these are all things we could have done a long time ago and, in fact, started to do after the oil crisis of the 70s. But it's hard to get traction on some of these alternatives when gas is cheap.
Yeah. Let me check our weather forecast once again, see what kind of a holiday weekend forecast we have in store, and then we'll take more of your suggestions and ideas on how to cope with the high gas prices and wondering if this is changing your lifestyle in any way. 1-800-642-1234, Madison 263-1890, or talk at WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Pam Moen from AAA Wisconsin. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 11 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, July the 2nd. Coming up after 7 o'clock, we'll talk with a political analyst about Barack Obama's apparent shift to the center, the political center, now that he's the presumptive Democratic Party nominee. Is that a smart move? Are you pleased with that or upset with that? We'll wonder after 7 o'clock. Right now, we're wondering how you're coping with high gas prices as we talk with Pam Moen, Public Affairs Director for AAA Wisconsin, and Beverly in La Crosse is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just called to let people know that we actually canceled a family reunion this year over the 4th to celebrate 2 high school graduations and a 50th wedding anniversary.
Because it would be too expensive for everybody to drive there there.
Yeah, they canceled it, and that was a little disappointing, but it is making a big impact across a lot of people's lives.
Boy.
But last year I sold my SUV and bought a Honda, so that was a big help. And my employer is moving towards doing a lot of meetings via phone conference calls and web meetings, so that's helping curtail a lot of our staff's travel time. So.
Yeah, that sounds like a smart move, too, yeah. Well, I'm sorry about your family reunion and class, or did you say it was a class reunion or a family reunion?
A family reunion where we were going to celebrate 2 high school graduations and a 50th wedding anniversary.
Oh, that's too bad. Well,
yeah.
I hope your family, at least your immediate family, can enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, we will. Thank you.
Yeah. Pam Moen, any reaction?
Yeah, it is really sad, and I mean that's the first example of canceling a large family get together like that I've heard. But it doesn't surprise me. I've seen anecdotally, stories of young families who have moved away from their family center, and grandma and grandpa are getting to see the grandkids less because they can't travel home for the weekend like they used to. And it doesn't surprise me, I guess, that it is taking its toll that way on families' abilities to get together, because it's a serious issue and it's affecting an awful lot of people.
Yeah, we're having a small family reunion a little bit later in July, and while the people who live in Wisconsin are not going to have a big problem getting to it, I do have a brother who lives in Tennessee, and he's he's thinking twice, that hey, the airfare is quite a bit, and so he may not attend because it's so expensive.
Right, that occurred to me too, that that even families that don't go to the extreme that Beverly's did to cancel their reunion, it will be interesting to see if their attendance is down and that people just choose not to travel as far for optional things like that. Of course, because it is the discretionary driving and the discretionary spending that goes first when people have to make some choices to try to make up the gap for what they're spending more in gas.
Next, we go to Don in Janesville. Hi, Don. You're on the air.
Hello. Yeah, I've changed my vacation plans for the year, as well as the amount we go out to eat, and the added cost of the fuel actually has been passed on to my employer. I'm a contract engineer, which is in turn being passed on, I'm sure, to the citizens of Wisconsin, I believe, is how it's working.
Sure, there's got to be a ripple effect, right?
Right, well, I'm a power engineer, and that's just, that. I believe that's the way that all the contracts are wrote for the contract employees. But yeah, it's horrendous. Yeah. I mean, it's 160 miles round trip every day.
Mm. Yeah. How are you scaling back on vacation plans, Don?
Well, we had originally planned to drive up to Washington Island, and it's sounds kind of weird, but instead I've got a sailboat, and we're just gonna sail up there. That way, we have no cost incurred, but just a little more time. It should be a little more enjoyable.
Doesn't sound weird to me. It sounds good.
And wind is free.
Yeah.
Yes, and wind is free.
All right, Don. We'll have a good one. Thanks very much for joining us. Yeah. Any word from restaurants, Pam Moen, and about how people are scaling back on restaurants?
I was glad Don brought that up. Actually, AAA. We just last week had our award recognition ceremony for the AAA 4 and 5 diamond restaurant and hotels in Wisconsin. There are 10 of them that are 4 and 5 diamond properties, and so I was chatting with those folks about any changes that they are seeing. And they are definitely seeing changes. I was talking to one of the properties in the Lake Geneva area, and they were telling me about how, with Memorial being the annual kickoff of summer, usually the lake is just full of boats with people, there to celebrate the weekend. And they said, their observation was there were about half the boats that they would normally expect to see. And so you just don't have as many people, coming in for those long weekends, and then that translates into, that many fewer people are not there to go out to eat or to spend money in the other shops and venues that they normally would. So my guess would be it is having a pretty big trickle down effect.
Mm-hmm.
Even in some of our finest destinations.
Yeah. I guess it's not real conscious, but I think we're going out to eat a little less than we used to. Yeah.
I would say the same thing about our family, that we used to really not think too much about it. If you didn't know what you wanted to do for dinner that night, we would run out and grab something. And now that we're spending with the two vehicles well over $100 a week for gas, you think twice about some
of
those things.
Jerry in Princeton writes, I live in the country, about 40 minutes from the closest large shopping area. At $4 a gallon, a round trip is costing me $12. I'm shopping more locally as a result and making trips to the city way less. But I accept these changes, realizing we all need to be thinking twice before we make some of our energy use decisions. But even with our driving habit changes, the pain at the pump is still pretty awful. Mm-hmm. We certainly find ourselves with less money for discretionary spending.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Jerry, for the email. And now we go to Marilyn in Cleveland. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Joy.
Hi.
I have a question.
Okay.
For Pam.
Mm-hmm.
I have heard that there is no difference in the extra gas burned to cool yourself off by using your air conditioning or having your windows open because of the drag of an open window.
Right.
Is that correct?
That is pretty much true. I mean, obviously, with different vehicle models, there are some slight variations. But as a general rule, especially if you're traveling at highway speeds, you are better off running your air conditioner rather than having the windows down, because, as you mentioned, the increased drag or with the windows down will actually more adversely affect your fuel efficiency than running the air conditioner. And not to make light of it, but I've found myself saying, at least if we're going through the pain of paying more than $4 for a gallon of gas, for goodness sake, let's run the air conditioner and be comfortable.
Yeah.
Good idea.
While we're doing it.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Marilyn. Did you have something else?
No.
All right. Thank you very much. One more quick one from Susan in Madison. Hi, Susan.
Morning.
Morning.
We are not showing our horse this summer. We used to haul him 6-7 times to shows, and it's just too expensive to hook up that trailer and go.
I'm sorry. You can ride your horse, though. Yes, Susan?
Oh, yeah. We can get out to the barn and do that, but not going to shows.
I'm sorry about that. Well, Pam, any last words of wisdom or advice for us?
Well, I'm a kindred horse spirit, mm-hmm. or spirit also, mm-hmm. Susan, so I feel for you there. But, yeah, I guess, you know, I try to look for the positive in things, and obviously people are figuring out, as we've heard this morning, what they can do in their lifestyle to try to compensate for the higher gas prices. But once we get through this painful period, we will be able to look back at it and, you know, even 20, 30 years from now and say, wow, like we're looking now at the oil crisis of the 70s and say, that was the catalyst for change.
Yeah.
And as I said before, that will be the silver lining in all of this.
Well, we'll leave it there on that positive note, and I hope you have a happy holiday weekend.
Thanks so much, Joy. You too, and thanks for having me on this
morning. Yeah, Pam Moen, Public Affairs Director for AAA Wisconsin. Thanks to Rob Ferret, Karen Prager, and Cynthia Schuster for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.